Tonight, Lord, is in your presence, Lord. You know, Lord, there's a, you know, Lord, even just hearing, Lord, you know, even hearing about the stick, Lord, that came into your presence, Lord, into the Shekinah, Lord. Hallelujah. It was transforming power, Lord, from that coming into your presence, Lord. And, you know, Lord, even just listening to with that, to the songwriter, Lord. You know, Lord, having a revelation, Lord, that, you know, in your presence, Lord, there is fullness of joy, Lord. In your presence, Lord, we could run away from the cares of this life, Lord. The schemes of darkness cannot find us, cannot get to us, Lord, when we're in your presence, Lord. Hallelujah. And Lord, we just want to worship you this evening, Lord. You know, Lord, just want to give you thanks, Lord. You know, your word says, Lord, that you are seeking those, Lord, who will worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. Lord, that's what we want to do, Lord. We're commissioned tonight, Lord, to come and worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you may receive our worship tonight, Lord. May our worship, our praise, and our prayers be sweet incense into your throne room, Lord, in Jesus' name. receive our worship, Lord, we ask. Bless every vessel that's here tonight, Lord. Everyone that's here tonight, just thanking you, Lord, for, you know, for the amazing works that you've done for the last couple of days, Lord. Looking forward to what you have in store for us tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name. We love you, Lord. We give you the glory and the praise, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. God bless you, saints. Turn to your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor and give them a handshake or a hug or a hoggy or greet them in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God bless you, musicians. Amen, sis. Short. Okay, praise him, eh? Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. God bless you to those who are on Zoom. You're zooming in. Woo. Amen. Amen and amen. Brother Tawanda, God bless you, my brother. Praise him, praise him, eh? The Bible says, Psalms 150, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you breathing tonight, saints? So I'm expecting you guys to praise him this evening. Praise the Lord. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him in the morning. We're gonna praise him in. Love him till the sun. Who believes the rain is here this evening? Send down the letter rain. Yes. Hallelujah. Send down the rain. Send down the rain. You guys know that song? By the power of the Holy Ghost, and I'm waiting for the outward to be changed and taken off the earth. His power now is moving deep inside of me. As I look into the mirror, I know it's him. From the top. Quick and changed and translated by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now I'm waiting for the outward to be changed and taken off the earth. His power now is moving deep inside of me. As I look into the mirror, I know it's
one more time.
Can change the translator by the power of the Holy Ghost. And now I'm waiting for the outward to be changed and taken off the earth. His power now is moving deep inside of me. As I look into the mirror, I know it's in my scene. And as I look into to sing after having pudding, eh? Man, I should have held back on the cream. Sorry. One more song, eh? We're going to sing, we're going to think about his love, eh? Amen. Amen. We're going to think about his love. We're going to think about his love. We're going to think about his goodness. Think about his grace.
Think about
it. Praise the Lord. I'll get you guys just to take your seats. I believe we've got a few specials. Plus, I need to catch my breath. Hey, that's the truth. Woo, praise the Lord. We'll get our family, Mala, the Browns, the Haveli Tamas, and the Motulikis come up. She's got a special that they're going to sing. Can we just give them a bit of a clap, baby? Yeah! Let's get these little fellas, get them. Come on up.
God bless you, saints. Man, what an awesome weekend it's been. And I just want to say that it's been amazing seeing you guys again. We saw you guys last week. And it's great to see you again this week, and it's such a privilege to host you guys again. So you guys would have heard our names a couple of times today, our specials, but this is our whānau. We've been under Pastor Malcolm's ministry for 6 years, or I have been for 6 years. In fact, Brother Stuart, 6 years ago, I remember you guys being here, and that was the first time I came into the tabernacle with my husband. And, you know, I remember your testimony that you shared that night. So I was pretty blessed by that. But just meeting everyone, being under the message, my family, I was like, hey, come and listen to this. They stayed. And then it went on. So, yes. And it's so amazing. My daughter's here too. So, yeah. So this song is... It's a song about worship. It's worshiping our Lord. It's in our own language. It's just giving God all the glory, lifting our hands in praise, giving Him just everything that we have. We give it to no one else but Him. So our children are going to lead this, and we'll just be the backup singers. It's called Gianaba.
Moe whakaheke atu, tukutuku hifo ki a koe, ki a koe, moe whakaheke atu, ki a nava atu ki a koe. Moe whakaheke atu, tukutuku hifo ki a koe, ki a koe, moe whakaheke atu. Lana ki haku tau lima, lana ki haku tau lima, mahu feilo ki a koe. Thank you.
for kids, eh? You can just chuck them in there, eh? Yep. Kids, get in there. Oh, praise the Lord. Brother Stuart, do you guys have a special for us tonight? Amen. You in your fellowship, praise the Lord. Can we get a clap for our brethren here if they come up?
Praise the Lord. It's a song, so. Who's singing? Praise the Lord. So greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thought just to bless you tonight with a testimony song this evening. And this is really, when I heard the song, I thought it was just such an inspiration as a worship song. But we trust tonight it will be a worship song in spirit and in truth we heard tonight. And that's what we're here, just to bless you. But just the words of the song, very simple. But very inspirational for me personally. And also, you know, we don't have one of the soloists here, but praise God, you know, we probably have a full program tomorrow morning. So tonight we thought we'd just bless you this evening. I'm not even sure if the musicians had the gear, but trust the Lord is good to us tonight. And this will be fine. Is Brother Theo there? Okay. He's good with. Sorry, Brother Theo. I think he was expecting to do it tomorrow. So anyway, praise the Lord. God bless you.
Yes, the world will bow down and say you are God. Every man will bow down and say you are King. So let's start right now. Why would we wait?
King. Just wanna be with you, King of glory, fill this place. I just wanna be with you. I just wanna be with you. Yes, the world will bow down and sing you a God. just want to be with you. So I'll sing hallelujah till you come again. And we'll dance in your presence till you come again. We'll sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah till
what a mighty God we serve, eh? Glory. Amen. Ah, real. Yeah, nah, that was something special. Praise the Lord. Let us stand, eh? Let us stand and devote this time of worship unto our Lord. Lily of the Valley, sister. Lily of the Valley. Amen. Who believes we serve a mighty God? Amen. Feeling good this evening? Amen. Blessed with the specials, eh? Hallelujah.
make it right. And make it right, oh Lord. Raise the shine down on me. Let your light shine through me in the night. Lord, I see what was dying, wounded by the master of disease.
Darkness,
haunted by the years of past defeat.
But then I see
you standing near me, shining with compassion in your eyes, in your eyes, oh Lord. Jesus, shine down on me. Let your light shine through me in the night.
Now leave me, Lord.
Leave me, Lord. I'll follow everywhere you open up the door. Let me know.
This just gives us that what I've been calling for, Nounga Tanga. It's a family in Christ. It's a body that operates under the unction of the Holy Ghost. The Lord here to lead us into the provided place of worship. Then he delights in the praise and worship of the saints. My goodness. Whatever need that we have, amen, in that kind of atmosphere, my goodness, you touch the hem of his garment, you can ask what you will, and the Lord is here to meet that need. If you have loved ones on your heart, this is the kind of night to reach out and touch them. Say, Lord, it's time. Amen. Speak the word and go forward and watch him come on the scene. Is there some that you're praying for out in the streets? Is there ones that need some change to be broken off? Well, this kind of atmosphere can break those chains. Doesn't matter how far they were, but they can be on the other side of the world. And the power of the love of God set the captives free. Bring it into a place where they can enjoy themselves, where they can be worshiping God in spirit and truth like we do. And see the Lord come in the scene and come in our midst. Not just because we feel his presence, because his word declares where he is. He lives and reigns in the hearts of his people. Glory! You know, it's been so wonderful just fellowshipping with everybody in our day, just looking at different gifts and looking at going up that octave higher, seeing the unity amongst the gifts, the desire to maintain that kind of unity. I think that's great. I think that shows that the bride of Jesus Christ is coming into a greater maturity. Amen. The Bible calls it perfection. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part can be done away with it. You know, what caused the division and all these different things is we knew in part, and we prophesied in part, and we thought we knew it all. We didn't. We needed to come into a maturity. We needed to come into a season of divine love. And then we can esteem the other better than ourselves, which is what I see amongst you, you know. I believe God's gifts always find their places, but there's such power in humility. It's esteeming the other better than ourselves and watching God come on the scene and watching the Lord, the way he uses these gifts in the body so humbly, but with such impact, such power we see on display. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. Well, you know, I thought we were just going to get some of the groups to come up and bring their conclusion. We might put that kaupapa off until tomorrow, because we want to give the man of God as much time as possible. I've asked our matua here, our kaumatua. I'll even tease him with the Ancient of Days. I've asked him to come and share the word with us tonight. You know, for me, there's nothing like some of the. I was just going to say these old battle axes. Nothing like the direction of experience that the Lord can bring. Nothing like being able to put some of the stabilizers on the ship. When the children of Israel crossed into the promised land, you realize that it was a younger generation that was going through. All the old fighters had died out. Amen. But they needed the Joshuas and the Calebs to keep the ship sailing straight. They had to be able to give some leadership and direction. Amen. True experiences. The ones that had, you know, come through all the hardships of Egypt, the bondage in the things of this world and the things of this life. And they saw a supernatural God move through the church. He saw them, how that they had to come through that wilderness experience and then to be able to lead them in, those Joshuas and Calebs, to lead the people into the promised land. And then help to see them positionally placed in the promises. Glory. You imagine that, watching the old fighters die out. And it wasn't until the last fighter die out. And then the Lord said, it's time to cross over the brook Zered. My goodness. And we're thankful. We want to be able to utilize those gifts of ministry as much as we can by the Lord's grace. Amen. We just wanted to give that kind of respect for our Pastor Freddie. And before he comes up, I'm going to ask the singers to come and sing. You thought you were going to get away with it when I come up, right? But I want you to create an atmosphere. Amen. For your granddad. Glory, because we're talking about generations here. Amen. And I always say to these younger ones, they've got to be instant in season and out of season. Amen. So just take your seats and just enjoy the presence of the Lord. Amen. And then we're going to get our pastor to come up and share with us the word of God. Amen. Praise his name.
Check.
Amen.
Amen.
Check.
victory.
I know what it's like to be in the presence of the Lord. And I know what time it is, because time stood still and bodies were healed and families restored. Because we stay here in the presence of the Lord. No one had to say a word. Couldn't even make a sound. This treasure I found, I never want it to end. So I say,
yes, Lord, I don't want you to go. Burning in your presence, Lord.
Please stay.
So
please stay. I don't want you to go.
I want more.
stay.
Where else could I go?
Where else could I go?
'Cause my heart is burning.
'Cause my heart is burning.
My heart is burning.
'Cause my heart is burning.
My heart is burning.
My heart is burning.
In your presence, Lord.
In your presence, Lord.
So I'll stay. So I'll stay.
Can we pray? What a presence. Father, we thank you tonight for the sweet anointing. Lord, moments like this, we don't know what to say because we don't want to disturb this presence. So will you stay with us, Lord? Even the few words that I would speak, Lord God, and the atmosphere that the word will be created as it's spoken. May angels come and join us tonight. Might they, Lord, tonight move from heart to heart, from pew to pew, and search our hearts and reveal to us what we lack. Because that's the reason why we are in church tonight. Your prophet says, Lord, we come for any other reason but to find out what is our dark parts, our bad parts. He says, then our coming to church will be in vain. So we are here tonight to evaluate our lives, Lord. Every time we come together, that's the purpose. My life, Lord, does it please you? My walk, does it please you? So tonight we want to just commit this meeting to your hands tonight. Lord, help me just to find the right channel to say the right thing so that someone tonight might respond to me saying the right thing. As Sister Hattie Wright responded, that's exactly the truth. We pray tonight, Lord, move in our midst. Lord God, just help us tonight to be honest with ourselves. As we look into the mirror of your word tonight, and whatever we see tonight, Lord, help us not to close the mirror and the book and walk away. But might we indeed cry unto thee, search me, O God. Try me. See if there's any wicked way in me. And will you please, Lord, lead me the way of salvation. So tonight we want to just pray that your presence would remain with us. And will you take me off the scene tonight, Lord? Help me to say something that will help someone as we journey along the way. Thank you for this wonderful time we've had thus far. Now, Lord, we just step back and take over tonight. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. What a honor, what a privilege for me to minister the word tonight. I told Brother Malcolm, where is he now? I told him, let me sit out this time And he said to me, objection overruled. So I'm here tonight. You may just sit for a while. You can just sit for a while. Just want to say how honored I am to be amongst friends. I think it's 20 years that myself and Brother Malcolm has been friends, and it has been just wonderful, the things I've learned of him. And I want to tonight just say, Brother Malcolm, I respect the gift that is within you with all my heart. Amen. Really respect that gift. And it's been so edifying. Just last night, when you started talking about Matariki and the meaning of it, to me it's just a holiday, man. To me it's just a holiday. But when you started talking about Matariki and the meaning and what's happening in Placides and the stars lining up, man, we were just so blessed, amen. So we can't even measure, we don't want to measure, can't measure ourselves to you, Brother Malcolm. God has given you a special gift, amen. And we just want to acknowledge that gift and everybody that's here. And I was saying to Brother Andy, give me some of your energy, man. Give me some of that energy that you've got there, bro. My, but it's been good thus far. And I'm sorry that I missed out this afternoon. But I will hear by Brother Malcolm how it went. So it's an honor for me tonight to be here and just to try and encourage you along the way. The songs has just been awesome. It's been so blessed, amen. And the gifts that's in the body, we don't need the guys outside there, amen, to entertain us. We've got God's people that's got gifts that God is harnessing and using it for the edification of his body. So tonight, for a short while, I was hoping that Brother Malcolm would carry through with what he said, get a couple of ministers to come and just to speak ahead of me. And then it would have been so nice just to slip in behind that and say a word or two and then get out of the way. But I trust God that will just help you tonight as we speak a little bit on the power of the Lord was present to heal them all. And I find that scripture in the book of Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. I've been ministering this gospel since 1960. Don't think any of you were born yet. Were you born in 1960, Brother Malcolm? Oh. Well, I was born in 1939. Oh, my word. So, yeah, we turned 86 the other day. So, we're just so grateful to God, amen, for allowing me to preach the gospel, amen. Coming out of the world and doing the things you did. Hi, Brother Phil, Sister Belinda. God bless you richly. Good to see you. And it's such an honor that the Lord came my way. And as Brother Andy said last night, he said he knew our human failures. He knew what I would be. He knew all about me. And yet he chose me. Amen. To think the grace of God. That he knew I would be rotter. He knew my life. He knew I would fail him. But yet he chose me. And I really, really appreciate. If you don't know grace, then brother and sister, then I want to talk to you about the grace of God in our lives. So Luke chapter 5, verses 17. If we can just turn to the word. Luke chapter 5 and verses 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could find by what And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, the four friends, and when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees begin to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, What reason he in your hearts? Whether it's easy to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, took up that whereupon he laid, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed. And they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. May God just bless the reading of his word as we would take our seats. The power of the Lord was present to heal them all. And that included the scribes and the Pharisees and the doctors of divinity. But we see the word of God says none of them received their healing. None of them received what they desired. Because they never recognized the power that was in their presence. They never recognized or gave him the respect that he deserved. So here were they sitting. And I want to say tonight that right in this group of people in this sanctuary, the power of God is present. Amen. To heal, amen, to deliver, glory, to give unto you what you have need of. Amen. If you can but recognize that his presence is here. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And although the power of God was present to heal them, brother, not everybody, I want to really lay emphasis on that. Not everybody present enjoyed or received the result of that power being released. The scribes, the Pharisees, doctors of law received nothing because of their attitude towards the word. Now, tonight, we're sitting here, you knowing this evening that without me saying a word, God knows. Amen. The Bible says even before a word is formed on my tongue, he knows it. So he knows your thoughts right now. He knows your attitude towards this wonderful presence. To you, it might not be anything, but to me tonight, to us as believers, this is what we cherish. This is what we want to hold on to. Once you've been in the atmosphere of God, the prophet of God said, Brother, you would never desire to be anywhere else but in this atmosphere. Hallelujah. So, brother, although they were right now, the presence of God is here to heal all manner of sickness, no matter what you need tonight, no matter the doctor's report, the power of God is present here tonight for your miracle. But it's dependent tonight upon your attitude towards the word. Hebrews chapter 7, part 1, the prophet of God says, Your attitude towards Christ will make a great impression on what your children will be. Can I read that again? Your attitude towards Christ will make a great impression on what your children will be. Your life that you live before your family will make an impression on what your children will be. I hope that sinks in. I hope that really means something to you, that the way I live before my children will determine what they will become. That's why many times I say our kids, I find it so difficult to really know who's the real you. The one at church or the one at home? Who's the real you? Who's the real Christian? The one at home or the one at church? And that goes for me, for you, for each one. The kind of life I live before my children. Hallelujah. He said it will make an impression on what your children will be. Because the Bible says he would visit the iniquity of the parents upon the children to the third and the fourth generation. Some of our kids are today suffering, going through issues that they've got no idea why it's happened to me. We just have to trace back in our life. It might not be even the parent. It might be somewhere in the family, down the line, that someone did wrong and never cleaned it up. And you are today suffering, going through issues. Your marriage is shaking. Your kids are wayward and you've got no idea why. You just have to trace back and see somewhere along the line we were not good parents. Hallelujah. So to experience tonight the power of the Lord that is present in this church this evening, we have to activate that power. Hallelujah. We can't just shake our heads. We can't just say amen in your heart. You must open your mouth. Say amen. Which means I agree with the word. Hallelujah. But we find many times we just shake our heads. God wants to hear, man. What do you say about the word? Hallelujah. You have to activate that power. Do something that maybe you've never done before. It might take an act of desperation tonight to experience the power that's in this church right now. Hallelujah. Those four friends, those guys that carried that bed of their buddy, brother, they looked past circumstances. They saw it. They saw circumstances. They saw they couldn't get in. They saw they couldn't bring their friend to the presence of the Lord because of the throng. But they looked past that, because faith goes beyond circumstances. Faith goes beyond circumstances. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible says in Luke chapter 8, talk about the woman with the blood issue. Hallelujah. Suffered 12 years. Went to the doctors. Spent all that she had. But brother, she became worse. Hallelujah. And when she heard, oh my, I can give you testimony quickly of when someone heard that God was passing through the neighborhood. He's passing through the neighborhood tonight. Hallelujah. It was a Sunday morning back in South Africa. And we were having church as normal. Now, church was not in a fancy place. Like this was a classroom. And brother, after I ministered the word, a lady was led up to the altar. And I asked, what's wrong? She says, I'm blind. I can't see. But she said what she said was striking. She says, I've heard in the location. I've heard that when we come to this church and I pray for people in this church, that the people get well. And I've come this morning for my healing. I haven't seen her, don't know her. She said, my friends, I heard in the location, this church, when they pray for people, they get healed. And while she was bearing witness, she screamed out. She says, I can see. I can see. She said to me, Pastor, you don't need to pray. Just thank God. I'm healed. I'm healed. And she walked out. Hallelujah. Was led in. But she walked out on her own. Hallelujah. All because she said the right thing. All because she bore witness of what God is doing. Hallelujah. And this woman, she heard of Jesus. And she came in the press behind him. The Bible says, now we know where Jesus is. There's always noise. There's always people thronging. Amen. So he's here. So don't let this moment pass by. I need to get to Jesus. I need to get to Jesus. Doesn't matter what it's going to cost me. Hallelujah. Brother, this lady, she had to push through the throng. They were thronging him. They were all touching him. They were all reaching out to him. But her touch was something different. Hallelujah. She had to push through the throng to activate the power for her healing. The Bible says, brother, that when she touched him, he turned around. Who touched me? There were multitudes touching him. There were multitudes pulling on him. Didn't affect him. But when this lady with a need, brother, her only hope, pushed through. And the Bible says she touched the hem. Could have been at the side. Could have been at the bottom of his gown. But she touched him. And if she had to touch the hem, the bottom of his garment, she had to go on her knees. She had to slip through the legs. And everybody was trampling. And everybody. But brother, she was determined. That power that was present, I need to release that power. I need my healing. Hallelujah. Oh my. Others touching him. Others pulling on his clothes. But only this one woman received that the Bible recorded. Hallelujah. Receive the healing. You might have to do something extraordinary. You might have to tonight in your heart hold someone in your heart. As Brother Malcolm was saying before I came on, you might have a need of someone that you may be a family member. Maybe not here, but you can right now hold that person in your heart. Right now, yeah, you can release the power. That's here. Send it to your loved one. Speak the name of Jesus of that loved one right now. And I can guarantee you something will happen. Something will happen. Hallelujah. Brother, we must release the power for healing. For deliverance, for those that are bound, for those that are backslidden, for those that the world has captured. that's screaming for help. Have you heard the cry of a lamb caught in a thicket? Because that's what's happening. Give an ear, and you can hear tonight the cry of a lamb that's teetering on the abyss, ready to go down, ready to plunge. God help us. Can God give us an ear to hear the cry of the helpless? But we're so busy with our issues. We're so busy trying to keep my head above the water. We hardly hear the cries of the needy. Oh, Luke chapter 7:36. The woman that washed the feet of the Lord. Hallelujah. At the home of Simon the leper. She was uninvited. She had a bad reputation. A bad woman. Woman that sold herself. And she saw. She went in. She saw him sitting. Unwashed. Unwelcomed. Sweat running down his brow. His feet dirty. Uncomfortable. Sitting there. Oh my. She could have been like one of the others that was standing outside. The smell of the cooking of the food. The throngs, because they heard there was something special happening at the home of Simon the leper. They heard Jesus was coming that way. They heard and they were gathering outside. The poor, the halt, the blind, the maimed, all kinds coming out of the hedges and the highways and the byways. That is where God has sent us to. The highways and the byways, the halt, the blind, the crippled, the sick. God help me, I was one of them. They came creeping out of the hedge, unwashed. Hallelujah. Navel string has not been cut. I have not been swaddled. I have not been oiled. But he found me as I crept out of the hedge that I was in. But he found me and he swaddled me and he washed me, Brother Malcolm, and he oiled me and he said to me, this is the time of love. He picked me up. That is where he found me, in the hedges. Found me in the highways and the byways. And that's where many of us sitting here. That is where we lived. That is where we hung out. How can you say that, brother, I was in a good home? No, I'm not talking about your natural state. I'm talking about what you were spiritually. You were undone. You were without hope. But he came. And he lifted you up. He plunged his hand into that filthy life that you were living. And he plucked us out. And he washed us. And he changed us. And he called me his son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He called me a son. And she was attracted, this woman, caught a glimpse of him, unattended, sweat running from his forehead, dirty feet, and something stirred within a most being. Something stirred. I remember coming out of the pub, walking down the street, and I walked past an old man, preaching the gospel. Man, I was not in a good state. But something gripped me. something arrested me by the word that I heard. I couldn't move. I was captivated by the word that was coming forth. An old man, inconspicuous, didn't look like much, but he was talking about the love of God, talking about my condition that I was in. Nothing happened that day. Following week, I was there again. My life. Every time I heard the gospel, until one night, hallelujah, February 1960, in my room, alone, battling, struggling, my life was ruined, was spiraling out of control. 21 years old. That night, hallelujah, he heard me, heard my cry, heard my battles, and he came in my way, came into that room. No choir, nobody to lead me to the Lord, nobody to pray with me, but he walked into that room, and we had a conference. He had a conference. Hallelujah. And I told him about my state. And he told me who he was. And we had a conference. And brother, I was never the same again. My life was changed. And I've been preaching this gospel. That Jesus saves. That Jesus changed lives. Preach this gospel. And I've come a long way, brothers. I think maybe over 65 years. I've come a long way. But I'm so glad I came. I'm so glad he found me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh my. And like this lady, wretched, undone, rotten, I needed to get to him. I needed to wash his feet. I needed to entertain him. Hallelujah. And this lady, the desire in her heart came up, brother, to entertain him. And we know the Bible talks how she got to the apothecary and how she got the at the chemist or pharmacy or one of those drug stores. And she got this alabaster box of ointment. The Bible said it was very costly. Because I want to let you know tonight, true worship, it's more than singing hymns. True worship, it's more than raising your hands. True worship, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. This woman went to buy the best. Went to buy the most costliest, brother, of perfume to anoint him and to put it on his feet and to entertain him. I want to say this evening to you, my friends, if my worship and your worship is not going to cost us anything, then I want to say it's just lip service. Gonna cost you. It's gonna cost a sacrifice. It's gonna cost, brother. You know, when Abraham went up with Isaac to sacrifice him, when he saw the mountain afar, the Bible says, he told the lads, he says, you stay here, me and my son, we're going up there not to kill him, to worship. That's what he told the young guys. I'm going up there to worship me and the son. And meanwhile, he was going to kill his young son. And that's why I say this evening, church, that worship is going to cost us real, true worship. When your loved one is gone on, When you stand next to an open grave and you say ashes to ashes and dust to dust, and you turn around away and you say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I adore you. Lord, my life is in your hands. When he say no, brother, when you have a cancer and you get the bros to pray for you and nothing happened, and you cry to God for your healing, he doesn't heal you. You got this lump, and you can still worship. You can still say, I love you, Lord. Even if you don't heal me, my life is still yours. I still love you. True worship. True worship, church. It's going to cost you. Because many of us, we can testify of the goodness of the Lord. When God answers prayer, when God saves your home, when you don't, when they were coming to repossess your home or repossess your car, and God came on the scene. But what if God don't come on the scene? What if you do lose your home? What if you do lose your car? If you do lose your job, do I still love him? Are you still my everything? I want to say, if you're there, then you're very close to the kingdom. You're very close to the kingdom, brother. If you can praise him when things go wrong and he doesn't come on the scene. Hallelujah. So this lady with this alabaster box, brother, she walked. They were sitting and looking at her. And in their hearts, those bunch of hypocrites, those doctors of divinity and those Pharisees and those scribes. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. That those scribes and Pharisees and doctors of divinity, those guys, to hold that office, to hold that office as a Pharisee, as a scribe, as a doctor of divinity, those guys had to live the law. They had to live it. They had to obey it. They had to follow it. And yet, they never had the seed of predestination in them. And yet, the Lord said, unless your righteousness supersedes the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not go into the kingdom of heaven. So those guys, with all the keeping of the law, brother, they were not ordained to do what this lady did. And Jesus says, unless my righteousness supersedes their righteousness, keeping the law to the T, keeping the word to the T, and my righteousness had to supersede their righteousness to get to heaven. Oh, my word. So it is not just being in the message. It's not just I believe Malachi 4. It's something more. Hallelujah. It demands an obedience that me and you cannot live. It demands God to come in and God to live that life through me. Hallelujah. I can't forgive. Can you forgive your enemy? Can you forgive the one who's trying to see your downfall? Can you forgive someone that has been bad-mouthing you and spreading evil stories about you? Can you forgive that one? You need to. You must. You can't do it. He's got to come in. And he's got to take over and live. I said to the church the other day, can you pray for someone that's doing you dirt. And you can pray for the success of that person. I can pray for him, but for his success, that God must bless him. He's doing me evil, he's doing me dirt, and I must pray for him that he succeed. That is what God demands. He says, be he therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And she walked up with that alabaster box, brother. She didn't unscrew it. No, took too long. Unscrewing it, it's going to be a measure. She broke it. She broke it, brother, to get to the contents so that she can worship him and wash his feet. She crossed legs. Excuse me. Cross legs, excuse me. As they try to trip her, as they try to stop the sinner woman from getting to him. So, excuse me. Excuse me. Oh my God, help us. We might to do excuse me. Oh my. But she got to him and she anointed him and she washed his feet and the tears streaming. Brother, have you ever seen tears running? I saw one day having meetings also back in SA and at the altar call, I saw my cousin on his knees. It was like gushes of tears pouring, shooting out of his eyes as God dealt with him. And she had so much tears that she washed his feet. And she had used the hair to dry his feet. And the joy of that was this woman, he knew what she was. And he didn't stop her from washing. Can you believe it? If I knew a bad woman was coming here to wash my feet, I would have made very sure that you don't touch me, brother. She's contagious. But he sat and he allowed her. And he didn't say a word. And she washed his feet. Hallelujah. And she dried his feet. Then he turned to Simon. Simon, I've got somewhat against you. Oh my. And he said, this woman, I came into your home. You never washed my feet. You never kissed me. You never hugged me. But this woman, since she's come in here, oh, she has not stopped kissing my feet. She has not stopped washing my feet. And you know what he says? Wherever you come together, read about her. Read about that woman. Every time we come together like this, then read about that woman. Hallelujah. You know what? He even said that she came to anoint my body for death, for burial. Because if you read in one of the Gospels, when Salome and Mary and all those sisters came with to anoint him, the tomb was empty. Because she anointed him for burial. Man, God, oh my, hallelujah. Brother, so here we find. Oh, so you're not getting me like I got you last week. Yeah. We find in 2 Samuel 24, David at the threshing floor of Arauna, the Jebusite. God was dealing with Israel. God, the Bible says God was trying to judge Israel. So God told David to number, amen, the tribes of Israel, which God is dead against. You don't number the people, and yet God comes and tells David, I want you to number the Israelites. And he called Joab, and he tells Joab to go number the people of Israel. And his servant said, King, we can't do it. This is not God. God doesn't want this. And David insisted, because the Bible says God wanted to judge Israel. And so God came in and, amen, and dealt with Israel, and the pestilence swept through Israel. I think 70,000 died. And then the angel of the Lord, God repented, and he said that. And he told David through Gad, I think it was, to go and build an altar at the threshing floor of Arahuna, the Jebusite. And here David comes to build the altar. And Arahuna said, what are you coming to do here? He said, no, the Lord told me to build an altar to make a sacrifice so that he can stop the plague that's hitting Israel. Yeah. And the Jebusite said to David, no, whatever you wish to take to build the altar, he says, it is there. But David said, no, I insist on paying for it. For I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings if it does not cost me anything. So as I said early on, to sacrifice, to really worship. That's why we sing a song back in Auckland, let my life praise you. Let my life glorify you. The life I live daily. The life I live at uni. The life I live, brother, on the campus. The life that I live in the library. That life that I live, might it worship him. Might it praise him. Might it glorify him. Brother, if it costs your worship, doesn't cost you pain and sorrow and sobbing and crying, it's not worth anything. You need to pay something, like that lady, the best of the best. She took that, even the disciples rebuked the Lord and said, how can you allow that woman to come with this costly spikenard and come and waste it? They call it waste. Those disciples call it waste. Oh God, God was so pleased with that, that he said, wherever you come together, let made mention of this woman, what she did. Hallelujah. If it does not cost me anything, then church, my worship is nothing. It may cost you something. You may have to go beyond your reasonable service, Brother Malcolm, remember, your reasonable service to stop the plague in your home. There may be a plague in your home. Things is just not getting right. Things is just not, you try your best to meet the criteria of the word. But there might be something deeper. Something that you are content with, where when Moses, brother, fled, and he became a shepherd with the sheep of his father-in-law. And the Bible says that Moses was contented to be a shepherd. Supposed to be a deliverer. Supposed to be the people, the man that's going to lead Israel out of Egypt. But here he fled. And now he's caring for sheep. And the Bible says he was contented. You might be contented in the situation that God has not ordained you. Maybe you've given up on living this word. Maybe life has become so tough to you that you are content just to come to church, sit in the benches. The pastor asked for help. No one helped. You contented to sit. But listen, God raised up a burning bush. God brought a burning bush. And brother, I want to say to you tonight, you might have a burning bush in your home right now. Your family's in disarray. Your kids are wayward. You don't know what's happening in your home. Stop. Turn to that bush that's burning. Because the Bible says that when Moses saw the bush, and he saw that the bush was not consumed, he turned to see why. And when he turned, the Bible says, then God spoke. So God, I want to say tonight to you, until you turn to find out, why is there so much trouble in my home? Why are my kids, why my marriage rocking? What is happening? Turn to the bush. Because whatever you lack is in the burning bush. Whatever you lack in your walk with God, it's in the burning bush. And when he turned, then God spoke to him. And I want to say this evening, your altar might be lying in ruins. And that's the reason why. When last did you get your children together around an altar? When last, Dad, did you take the Bible and call the family and read out of the word and prayed with your kids and with your and for your kids? When last? If you have not, if you neglected that part, I want to tell you there's a plague in your home. There's a plague in your home. How do I stop the plague, brother? Rebuild the altar. Rebuild. I know you might not like me, but that's okay. I'm saying what God said. I must say, you want to see the plague in your home? Stop. Thank you, brother. Full. Amen. Praise the Lord. Then I want to say, raise up the altar again. Gather your family. But brother, they won't listen to me. Then you set the law in your home as dad. You see, my problem many times with parents is they're scared of their children. So gather your family. I want to say to you tonight without any boastness. I've got five children. We have five. Not me, my wife. Five kids. Five kids. Two boys, three girls. And I want to say tonight, all my kids are serving God by the grace of God. I'm going to tell you this morning, this evening, one is sitting here. He's ministering the gospel. My other son is in South Africa. He's ministering the gospel. My eldest daughter married to a pastor in the message. My other son, my other daughter is in the UK married to a minister. My other, how many daughters did I mention? And the other one is in New Zealand. Amen, married to a pastor. How did I do it? I don't know. All I did was gather my family together. All that I did was gather my family together around the word. And God did the work in their lives. Somebody asked me one time, brother, why? How come all your kids are serving the Lord? I said, if I tell you, it's going to take me all the years. I said, but one thing I can say, when you were sleeping, we were lying on our faces before God for our children. It works, church. It works. Train up the child in the way that he should go. And when he grows older, he will not depart from it. It works. It works. It works. The word of God work. Hallelujah. So to stop that plague in your home, brother, I'm going to say to you tonight, the power of God is present to change your life forever. The power of God is present right here now to change your life forever. Hallelujah. And if we can believe this morning, this evening, believe fact or believe truth. Fact or truth. To read you a quote. Faith that was once delivered to the saints. And any man that's born again of the Spirit of God or a son of God, when God says so, no matter what the circumstances is, it's so anyhow. I don't care where all the teachers and the doctors of whatever it is and the world would say that or another, I believe it's the truth because God said so. How is it going to be? I don't know. But God said so. How are you going to receive the Holy Ghost? I don't know. God said so. He told me I could have it. And I believe it. And in 1983, He met me with this promise. And I want to say tonight to you, whatever God says, if you can believe it, God will make it come to pass. Brother, you might say to me tonight, you don't understand my situation. You don't understand, hallelujah, my problem that I have. He says, my problem runs in the family. But tonight you can break that cycle. You can break that cycle tonight. If you are a believer, then you are an offspring of God. You're an offspring. I want to read that quote and then I'm going to get out of here. Believing God, 1952, where Paul speaks about the battle between the outer man and the inner man. Because Paul says in Romans 7, when I would do good, then evil is near me. He says it's a constant war, the flesh against the spirit. Can you imagine Paul chained to a God? That guy was with Paul every minute of his life. And can you imagine when Paul wanted to worship, wanted to raise his hand, that guy, that Roman, would say, can you imagine the battle that Paul had to raise his arm to worship God, and the Roman does not want to raise his hand? Can you imagine it? It was like you and I coming to church. That outside guy tell you, you're not worshiping today. That outside guy tell you, you're not raising your hand. The outside guy tell you, I'm tired. I want to sleep. Rather, you better take over. You better take over that outward man. Hallelujah. You must tell that outward man, you are going to worship this morning. You are going to praise God this morning. You are going to raise. After a while, this guy must give in. When you raise your hand, he says, oh, might as well raise my hand too. But you need to take control of this guy. He's going to ruin your life. He's going to mess up your life. He's going to control your life. But you need to tell this guy, you come into church, you come into worship God, you're going to sing His praises, you are going to listen to me. Paul says, we've got this constant war, flesh against the spirit. And listen what Brother Branham says, and here, if you go look at the flesh, and the doctor said, and you say, I believe what the doctor says, the prophet of God says, look how sinful that is. He says, you can't serve God. If you listen to what the doctors say, if you are going to place the doctor's report before the report of God, the prophet of God says, you can't serve God. He says, you... Now, I don't mean tonight, go throw away your tablets. I don't mean tonight, don't go tell the doctor, I'm healed, when you didn't hear from God. You need to hear from God that you healed. You need to have a revelation that you healed. Oh my, one time I listened, I was so inspired, and I went home and I took all my diabetic tablets and I chucked it. I'm healed. I'm healed. A brother, it was a couple of weeks after that, they had to take me to hospital, man. Had to take me to hospital because the glucose was completely haywire. And so I said to the church, you want to throw away your tablets? Make sure that you hear from God. If you don't hear from God, take the tablets until me, I'm taking tablets to keep the blood sugar under control. If I don't, I won't be standing here. But I still believe. Okay, I'm going to close. But I'm going to give a testimony quickly. 2012, I was diagnosed with a leaking valve, regurgitating, something like that. The valve doesn't close properly, so the blood doesn't pump to my head. The system, it pumps and it drops off. And so they diagnosed me with that, 2012. And since 2012 until now, they've been trying to cut me, to take my heart out. And one day when I was diagnosed with this problem, and I went to the hospital one morning, my wife went with, they were going to give us a final discussion. They're going to do open heart surgery, and they're going to ask what you're going to do. They said, we're going to cut through here, your sternum. And then they're going to put something in here that they wind like that and open you up like a butterfly. Then they take your heart out and they hook you onto a machine to keep you alive while they work on the heart. And then, after they've worked on the heart, done what they did, then they're going to put the heart back and they're going to kickstart it to get it start again. So I said to Jenny, Jenny is with the cardio, and asked Jenny, now if the heart don't kickstart, what happens? She says, you're dead, Pa. You're dead, Pa. I said, dead. She says, yeah, you're dead, Pa. Immediately, I called for reinforcements. The church. Pray. Pray. And I want to tell you what I did, Brother Malcolm. I got me a chainsaw. You know, there in Swanson. Got a chainsaw and I started cutting down these trees. And I got me two axes, brother. I got me a splitting axe. And I got me another axe. Two axes. And I said, devil, I'm going to show you something. And I started splitting those logs, Brother Malcolm. And every time a log fly, I say, boo, devil. Boo, devil. I tell you, till now. So now I went for a checkup. Last week, myself and Doreen walked in. And the doctor said, how are you? I said, no, I'm good, I'm good. He says, you look good, man. He says, we haven't seen you for the last 3 years. So I said, yeah, I fell through the cracks, man. And then he said to me, we were talking and talking. And he asked me, he says, you look so good. What age do you think you want to live? I looked him in the eye. And I said, 115 years. I said, 115 years. And he cracked and he burst out laughing. And after a while, he said to me, really, how do you think, how many years do you want to make? I said, I want to make 100. I want to make 100. And he looked at me and Doreen, and he looked at us and he says, tell me, what is your secret? What is your secret that you guys are looking so good? The second doctor, the second heart specialist, you're looking so good. I says, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. And the guys looked at us and he said to me and Doreen, carry on with Jesus. He's doing good. I tell you, church, I thank God for Jenny. I thank God for Jenny. Jenny is the one that's looking at my heart. She watches me. And Kim is the one that watches my diet. And I would to advise you, don't let Kim look after your diet. My coffee gets counted. How much coffee I get? No, Paul, how many coffee did you have today? How many coffee did you have today? I can't lie, of course. It's four. No, Paul, you can't have any more coffee. But I want to just say this evening that God is the one that's really been my everlasting portion. And I want to say tonight to you, as my two granddaughters come and sing a song in closing, that if you don't know him, then I want to advise you tonight, know him in the power of the resurrection. I want to say, 2003, maybe you never heard my testimony. Doreen ended up in hospital. They said she's got cancer of the bowel. And I came that night from work and I went to check on her. And I asked, what did the doctor say? It's because they were going to have a CT scan or MRI, whatever. And she said to me, Freddie, I've got cancer. I said, cancer? How can you have cancer? We're serving God. How can you have cancer? That's all we know, our lives. Serving God. Having open ears. Preaching on the bus. Preaching on the trains. That's all I knew. And now, must he reward us this way? Cancer. And I just burst out crying. And I cried like a baby, standing, sobbing, and Doreen, no response. She didn't join my pity party. She looked at me and she said, shame. Shame on you. Shame on you. How can you preach for others and tell others to keep the faith? Now you want to cry. She says, man up. Brothers, I tell you, then I realize, Brother Larry, we know about God. We know about him. But do we really know him? Right. That when things like this happen, that you can love him, and you can serve him, and you can give your life to him. And then I learned, I said, God, from today, and I was serving God for many years. Right. And this happened 2003. Yeah. 19 years ago. And I had to face the reality. A checkup in my life. Do I know him? Or do I know about him? Right. And since that time, church, when I decided I need to follow hard after him, then my life changed. Now, it's different because I've learned to know him personally. Do you know him personally? Not know about him? Know personally. If you don't, then we can pray for you tonight. Won't you listen to the words of the song? Every head bowed and every eye closed. And if you want Brother Malcolm or the brothers to pray for you, the altar is open. For you. If you need help tonight, the altar is open. There's men that can pray for you, help you in this walk with God. The altar is open. Brother Malcolm. Hallelujah. They were told to get all of their loved ones under their token sign. And you know the history of Rahab, huh? That she was sold into prostitution by her parents at the age of 10. But here she is now, and she's come by revelation now. She's been through a hard life, huh? Now you imagine that. And she didn't want that occupation. Economics drove that decision of the parents. Now, how would she have felt about the parents? Do you know what she said? When she was told to get everyone that she loved under that token, she said, "I need my father. I need my mother. I need my brothers. I need my sisters. I need my uncles. I need my aunties." And she got them all under that token sign. Amen. This is what I felt like tonight. Play me that song, I'm giving my best to you, Lord. This is what I felt like tonight. I mentioned it, and Freddie picked up again on that. How that you may have somebody on your heart too, because sometimes we come into a place of maturity in Christ, and but we're crying out. And when a brother said, "Call out that name," I was calling out some names. I think to myself how I've been so much in the field too. Years actually out in the mission fields. Sometimes 6 months to a year away. And then my wife had to raise her children while I'm serving the Lord. Then I'm thinking, especially in those times, that those teenage ages, you know, we used to turn up to all the conventions. And then each one of those children, you know, they knew their place. They knew those things. And then when they needed a dad, and I was serving it. It's something that I've carried for years. But tonight, I claimed my loved ones under the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe one of the greatest rewards that we can have for service, the greatest reward I can have is for the salvation of my children. I don't want a flash house. I don't want a mansion. But
for the salvation of the souls of my children. And I believe tonight the Lord give them to me. You know, the fellowship I can have with my children and how they don't forget about that seed that was sown. And I believe in the power of these things. Amen. But I feel moved tonight by these things that have been ministered. Is it power to be able to heal all that are present, and even those saints who God put those names on your heart, to be able to claim them for the kingdom? Glory. They're ours. The old enemy can't come in and say, nah, I got them. No, you ain't got them. He's got them. And I lay claim to that. Praise God. When those sisters were singing that song, I couldn't stay seated. I had to stand and say, Lord, I want those prayers. Glory. It's all I need, Lord. It's a reward that I deserve for all these years. Salvation. My children. Glory. And I believe you give them for us tonight by God's grace. Any of you feel the same? Some of you feel the same tonight, saints? And we know a mighty God that can do these things and that can fulfill these things by His grace. Amen. I'm not crying because I'm sad. Hey? I get a little bit emotional when I'm happy with what our God has been able to accomplish by His grace. Amen. Glory. And I want every one of us to be able to claim them as jewels in the crown. You know, you didn't need prayer tonight. There was others you love that needs that prayer, that needs that claiming. Amen. And that's what we want to do by God's grace tonight. Amen. Praise God. I was moved tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Whoo! Stirred. When I hear a brother speaking about these saints in the Bible that appropriated the promises, I want mates like that, that look past the circumstances. Amen. And they might not be able to get me through the door, but they see the opportunity. They look up on that roof. Can you do it, brother? We can do it. Glory! And they start taking off those that thatch roof. Glory! And they don't care what the owner is saying. They don't care. They just want to get me to Jesus. Glory! That's the kind of friends I want. I want to be able to have access to that faith of the woman that had tried so many physicians. Glory! And I love the way our pastor described how she touched the hem. You can't touch the hem up here. You got to go down. You got to go right down low. Amen. The crush might have been all around here, but she went down low. She snuck her hand in, touched the hem of his garment. And from that very moment, she was made well. Glory to God. And what about the woman? Because that was our condition. Amen. But there was a word that needed a service. Does Jesus need a service tonight? Hallelujah. Does he need an alabaster box? Thank you, Jesus. So let's just stand to our feet, amen. Let's give him some praise. Let's give him some worship. This terrestrial body's not too tired to worship our Lord a little bit. Amen, because he's worthy of that kind of praise. But I want you to be thinking about that. I'm giving my best to you, Lord. Amen. Give me some words, sister. Is that our lives? There's been so many times I let you down. I was given opportunities to share, but I didn't take that opportunity. There was people that you sent my way. Some people were even cursing your name and I stood still. But Lord, I'm giving my best. Glory. Let's sing this song together, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
There's been so many times I've let you down, searching for happiness, but none to be found. To think that price you paid for me wasn't in vain of that agony. But I've come here to say I've had my ups and my downs, and I'm here now today because of love that I found. Now I'm giving my best to you, Lord. All that I have, I won't withhold. I'm giving my best to you, Lord. All I think of love you've shown to me, the times you've waited so patiently, my heart is filled with such love for you. I know the best thing for me to do.
Now I come to you, Lord, to answer your call.
Not holding back, but I'm giving my all. Now I'm giving my best to you, Lord. All that
giving
my best to you, Lord.
To give you the preeminence, Lord. We want to give you first place. Not second, third, or fourth. Lord, we want to give you preeminence. And then I pray, oh God, that you would come and express yourself through us. Then, Lord, then we're trusting that you would reconcile all things back into their original condition. You've heard our cry, oh God. We've been standing in the gap for our loved ones. We've been standing in the gap for those that need chains broken off them. And we've been worshiping, oh God, because we see the effects of true worship. Worship and prayer. When Peter was in the prison house and having those two guards, one on one side, one on the other. And Lord, their purpose was death. They wanted to stop the revival, but there was a prayer meeting going on. There's a praise and worship team that were going into action. And it amazes me, Lord. Just step out. Two guards sleep on both sides and he can just step through from those inner prison dungeons. And every gate come open. Hallelujah. And he could walk out, oh God, and knock on the door of the prayer meeting. Oh God, and that young sister that opens up the door and sees Peter and shuts the door quick. Oh God. But what a joy, oh God, because the power of prayer. Brothers and sisters of like precious faith that could pray through and pray through until. Well, Lord, we see that is one of our boundaries in the Word. Oh, God, and that's what we want to press into. We want to be able to raise up to fulfill the full potential of what a mighty God we serve. Thank you, Jesus. To think, Lord, Paul and Silas, when they were shut up in the prison house And Lord, they just begin to worship. They could have been sad sick. They could have been down in the dumps. But they begin to praise you, Lord. They begin to worship. Hallelujah. And to think, Lord, all of those locks, all of those chains fell off, all of those locks came open. And that jailer wanting to kill himself. Oh, God. Thinking all of these fellows have escaped. And Paul comes out, Lord, because that man was needing redemption. And the power of worship and the power of prayer caused that jailer and all of his household to be saved. If we see these things as boundaries in the Word, and those boundaries are not our limitations, it's the possibilities of what we can raise up to. Lord, we're not going to only convert the jailer, the prisoners, but the jailers as well. Hallelujah. Because, Lord, you delight in the impossible. Thank you, Jesus. And, Lord, we got one more service. Hallelujah. So all the potential that we were speaking about today, all the potentials of the gifts in the body, Lord, we want to see those raised up until we are functioning together, not just in a local sense, but Lord, you uniting the bride body, because I see, Lord, what it looked like in the book of Revelation. There was a bride that had made herself ready. And the bride was coming down from like heavenly places, that city of God, as a bride adorned for her husband. Because, Lord, we want to have all your glory, because that's where your glory is displayed, is in your bride, oh God. We want to be the jewels sparkling in your crown, Lord. Hallelujah. But that wasn't just a local church, Lord. That wasn't just a national church, Father. That was an international bride body. So I pray, oh God, we could enter into that kind of experience. Hallelujah. Raise every gift, even amongst, Lord, our tamariki, our rangatahi. Our young people, Lord, stir up the gifts within them. Place a revival through them that can run through our communities, oh God. When they see these young ones like Zelophehad's daughters that were interested in their inheritance. And then the laws of redemption were changed because of these young sisters. They could stand upon the promise, that were so interested in their inheritance that they could take their claim. Hallelujah. And the claim was heard. Thank you, Jesus. Let them be, oh God, like Jephthah's daughter. Glory. That they were so concerned about what their father said. Glory. Because of the victories that have been wrought to Jephthah's leadership and skill. And then, Lord, she was willing to sacrifice her life because of the victories that her father had wrought. I think, oh God, that's almost become an extinct species in this hour. Almost. Because there's a bride of Jesus Christ where our young sisters can stand up like Jephthah's daughters and sing and praise a mighty God, because that's the way you designed them and what you designed them for, oh God. Blessed be your name. I think of those Hebrew children, Lord, that would not bow down to the image. And that's what we feel like, oh God. Let our young people have that kind of testimony, oh God. Glory! So that we can, Lord, because we see this time, this hour is raising up around us just like this. Glory. Let our young people be a testimony that they will not be an extinct species. Hallelujah. But they're alive and reign. They desire to worship the King. They desire to serve you in the fullness of the capacity that you call them to. So Lord, stir the hearts of our young ones, Lord. Stir the hearts of our old ones, Lord. To every one of us, oh God, so we can fulfill all of those things that we have heard in this hour. We thank you, Jesus. And I pray, Lord, the songwriters would be able to write songs of the junctions that we have come into in this hour. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Continue to receive the fruit of our lips, Father. And we would ask, Lord, that you just allow us to have a good rest tonight so we can be sharp to be able to come and worship and serve that mighty God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We want to go from this place, oh God, quickened, changed, translated by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen, Lord. So we commit it to you in the wonderful and blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's give our Lord a hand. Amen. And we thank the man of God for the ministry of the word. Amen. Let's sing that song together. Quick and change, translated by the power of the Holy Ghost. And greet one another. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'm quick and change. Hey, you musos. There's some gaps up here. What's wrong with you, fellas? We talk about gifts and you sit in a pew? Glory. Thank you, Jesus. I'm quick and change translated by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I'm waiting for this outward to be changed and taken off the earth. Amen. His power now is moving deep inside of me as I look into the mirror. I know it's him I see. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And to our brethren on the ether waves, God bless you on the Zoom. God bless you all. Brother Phil, Sister Belinda. Praise the Lord. God bless you, saints. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Can you slip your dancing slippers on now? Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Ferdy. Oh, I'm quick in change, translated by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I'm waiting for the outward to be changed,
taken off the earth. Oh, His power now is moving deep inside of me. As I look into the mirror, I know what I see. Oh, I'm quick in change, translated by the power of the Holy Ghost.
by world. I stand no longer for you. Goodbye pleasures of sin. I stand no longer for you. I made up my mind to go God's way. Hey, I made up my mind the rest of my life. I got my mind made up. I got my mind made up, and I won't. Mind to go God's way the rest of my life. I made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. I'm outside. I was guilty. Hey, doomed to disgrace. Oh, but Jesus, a special love, saved me by his grace. Well, he pleaded, and he pleaded. He pleaded my case. Oh, I said, oh, and now I'm saved down in my soul. You may remember and remember the things I done. Oh, but Jesus, special love, saved me from everyone. You see, he picked me up and he turned me around and gave me a brand new song. Oh, Jesus dropped. Jesus, I said, Jesus, I said, Jesus, oh, and to him I belong. He dropped the charges, Jesus, although I was wrong. Hey, he dropped the charges, and Jesus dropped the charges. He showed me right from wrong. Oh, he dropped the charges. I cast them all away. Oh, at Calvary. At Calvary. At Calvary. What did he say? He said, case dismissed, say bye. You may remember and remember some of the things I've done. Hey, but Jesus, with special love, forgave me for everyone. You see, he put me on the right road and lifted my heavy load. Oh, Jesus. Hey, Jesus. Hey. Oh, now I'm free. Down in my, he dropped the charges. He dropped the charges. Charges. At Calvary, I heard him say, at Calvary, at Calvary, I heard he said, he dropped the charges, Jesus dropped the charges. He dropped the charges, Jesus dropped the charges. He dropped the charges, dropped all the charges. He dropped the charges. At Calvary, I heard him. At Calvary, at Calvary, say, come on with a say. What did he say? He said, no. What did he say? He said, what did he say? He said, again, he said, say bye. What did he say? He said, and we are saved by, saved by, by. We say bye. Come on, we say bye. How we say? saved by grace. We gotta go. Kim knows that one. Wangitatala. Spot. Oh, I want it tatala, I want it pekela, I want it susela, pekela. Oh, no. Want it tatala, oh, want it tat. He takes me from here, puts me there, and then he puts me there, and he raises me higher. your marks, on your marks. Get set. Are you ready for Jerusalem? On your marks, on your marks. Get set. Are you ready for Jerusalem? On your marks, on your marks. Get set.
Yeah. Well, he has saved us. He has redeemed us.
Amen.
He will hear us.
Amen.
When we call.
Amen.
And when afflictions.
Amen.
Come on the righteous.
Amen.
He will deliver us out of them all.
Amen, 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 amen.
It is so. It is so. We say amen.
Amen, 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 amen.
It is so. It is so. While he is Alpha.
Amen.
And Omega.
Amen.
He's the beginning.
Amen.
And the end.
Amen.
Through every trial.
Amen.
And tribulation.
Amen.
He always causes his children to win.
Amen, 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 amen. It is so. It is so.
We say amen.
Amen, 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 amen. It is so. It is so.
Oh, amen, amen, amen.
Amen, 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 amen.
Amen, amen.
It is so.
Amen, amen.
It is so.
No, normally we end like this, right? You're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Together we will, until it comes, because I'm finished. And there's no foe that can defeat us.
We're
walking side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand. Oh, you're my brother. And then we go around and we shake each other's hands. And we say, hey, you're awesome. We say, hey, you're okay. You say, hey, you were difficult, but I understand.
He comes.
Where there's no foe that can defeat us as we walking
by side.
As long as there is love, we will
stand.
And then we ask the sisters to sing.
You're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand.
the brothers. Thank you.